We have been looking through the book of James, and we're getting ready to wrap up with this morning's message, and we'll conclude it next Sunday. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17 is a passage that we will be looking at today in a message I've titled, Faith That Trusts, Faith That Trusts. And why don't we all rise and read it together, whether you look on the screen or from a Bible from where you are standing. Just a few verses this morning, James 4, 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is God's word. You may be seated. Let's open up in a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for being one who loves us and cares for us. We're reminded of that this Advent season, the giving of the greatest gift of all, your very own Son, into our world to rescue us, to renew us, to give us life. We thank you for the ways in which you do answer prayer. Even to see Jim Burke here this morning just shows the power of your word, the power of prayer, and the one who truly hears our prayers. We give you thanks. And I pray, Father, as we draw quickly to the end of this year, and as we look forward to a beginning of a new one, 2020, Lord, I know there are lots of hopes and dreams and anxieties as we think about this coming new year and season of our lives. And we thank you that you address many of these concerns, especially today. And so, Lord, as you are only able to do, reach deep down into our past to remind us that you have led us and guided us all these years. You are Lord over our lives even when we mess up. And we thank you for your redeeming love. We thank you for the way in which you strengthen us even in the present, moment by moment and second by second, sustaining us, allowing our hearts to beat, allowing us to breathe and to be here to worship you. Thank you, Lord, and especially as we think about the future of which this message will address. So, Lord, lay open your word deeply and in a transforming way this morning as we celebrate Advent and as we once again ask that your Holy Spirit, who is alive and well and doing the work that only your Spirit can do, be present mightily and powerfully today. Thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. We have been thinking about what does real faith look like, authentic faith. And we hear people throughout our culture and world talking about faith, and they pray, and those are great things. But James has been really hitting hard at what does biblical faith look like that is centered upon the person of Christ. So we've looked at a lot of things, and even last week talked about how do we do relationships in our lives, especially when they are tough relationships. And we've been reminded that the way in which we do relationships truly reveals whether our faith is one that is genuine and authentic. As we near the end of our series, we want to think about the future in a faith that trusts. And very simply, we take it straight from our passage this morning. Three things that I'd like to share with us in our time together. First of all, we plan our lives often without planning for God or the God factor. If I can elaborate, and I will in just a few moments. Secondly, James warns us that our planning can only go so far. We'll look at exactly what he means by that. And thirdly, simply and finally, we are called to a daily faith that trusts God in everything. And so let's jump right into this this morning. All of us, when we were younger, were probably asked the question, what would you like to be when you grow up? And whether you said, whatever, president, a fireman, a doctor, an astronaut, whatever it might be, well, a lot of us are older now. Did that come to be in our lives? Maybe yes, probably not. And that's how life is so many times, is it not? We make plans and have dreams, and sometimes they turn out, and sometimes they don't. Making plans, dwelling upon, and thinking about the future is part of our human nature. And if I were to look at your online Google calendars, or for those of us that use a physical calendar or whatever, most likely, I will see things planned out in your life and your loved ones for the next week and the next month and 6 months and year and maybe even years to come. And James this morning takes that kind of planning, that kind of future orientation, as we live out our lives, and says the way in which we have a relationship to our future reveals how real and authentic our faith is. And so let's dive right in. James warns us, and he's talking to the church, remember, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, that we plan out our lives often without planning for God. We looked at verse 13 as we opened up our passage this morning. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Understand that this is not written to money-hungry unbelievers. He's writing to the church. During this time in Palestine, as we do today, men and women try to plan out their lives. They try not to fail. They try to be successful. They try to earn their keep. They are trying to expand their lives, their finances, their families. And James is addressing this. So we open up with just two questions. What isn't James saying to us? And what is James saying to us? And I've heard this passage taught and preached over the years from all different kinds of perspectives. And I think it's very important to ask these two questions as we dive right in. What James is not saying to us this morning is that it is not sinful to make plans for the future. It is not simple. It would be a gross error to read James, this passage in particular, and say, I'm not going to plan for anything in my life and just wake up and see what happens. That would be foolishness. James is not saying that. James, at the same time, is not attacking capitalism or trying to be successful and earn money and try to be a blessing to you and your family and your community. He is not against that. And we've heard this passage preached from sometimes really off-the-wall perspectives. James is not saying that that is sinful and being ambitious like that and making plans is wrong. No. But James is addressing the heart issue behind the way in which these group of people are trying to envision what their future lives look like. What he is saying is that he is rebuking a worldly self-confidence that trusts in and of themselves to accomplish their dreams, their goals, and their purposes. This is, and what James is trying to hit when he's trying to picture what real faith looks like, is the danger of the sin of presumptuousness. What is that? How can we define that? It is arrogance, it is pride in our own ability to solely determine the course of future events. Trust in our plans. We trust in our abilities, our own smarts and wit and all that we have in our lives as the only factors when it comes to the success of our lives. It is this heart attitude that James is trying to address. Not the sin of planning, not the sin of trying to make money, not the sin of trying to provide for your family, even have nice things. James isn't saying that that's a sin. But what James is saying is the sin, this heart of presumptuousness. Even as God's people, when we gather together to worship, we become very humble. We say all sorts of confessions with our mouth. We mean it in our hearts. But our Monday through Friday, even Saturday lives, James is saying, often is lived out no different than the people who do not know and love Jesus Christ. Especially when it comes to our attitude towards our future. James warns us, yes, make plans, be successful, be all that you can be, yes, do all that, but don't forget upon relying on God's hand for everything as you make those plans and ambitions in your future lives. Planning for our future that is rooted in our own arrogance, that we have the ability to determine the course of our steps, is no different than paganism. It is no different than practical atheism. Even if we confess with our lips this morning that Jesus is Lord. But how we live our lives, the Monday through Friday, even Saturday, really shows how real our faith is. New Testament theologian Motnier says this, all this, our faith, the blessings of God can be lost if once outside the doors of our private room, we take the reins of life into our own hands. We forget our ignorance, frailty, and dependence and plan our day, our week, and next year as if we were the lords of earth and time and there was no God in heaven. Every day as we get up, we battle these two worldviews. We battle this reality and challenge in our lives. A humanistic, self-determining one of self-reliance, or one that is truly reliant upon God Himself. And how we relate to our future, our plans, our ambitions, really reveals the authenticity of our faith. And so James addresses this to these group of believers. And secondly, he says, in this passage, a warning. We are warned that our planning can only go so far. Why, he writes, verse 14, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Life itself is a daily mercy of God. It is a gift. James reminds us that as human beings created in the image of God, yes, we would do well to be reminded that we have very limited knowledge. We're not as smart as we think we are, and we are utterly fragile. We cannot control the future. And James reminds us to keep that in mind every morning that we get up and think about our future lives and plans. Proverbs 27:1 reminds us, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Once again, we are not against a 5-month, 5-year, or 50-year plan for our lives. But to fall into the trap of thinking that we can control that and how that happens and if that happens is foolishness. James reminds us of this and really asks us to understand how important is this life, and you see this theme throughout James, this life and understanding of genuine dependency and humility before both God and man, especially as we think about the future. And so James, as he brings up these two truths, ends with a challenge. Which brings us to our third point. We are called to a daily faith that trusts God in everything. James says instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that, as it is you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. It's not just the word saying it, if it is the Lord's will, but it is a reality for you. It is a daily dependency for you. My seminary professors would often end the class. I remember Professor Dunsweiler, he would say, Lord willing, we will meet here tomorrow if it is the Lord's will. First time I heard that, I said, is this guy real? Come on, of course we're going to be meeting tomorrow. But he sincerely meant it, exhibiting a daily trust, a daily faith, not making presumptions about anything. If it is the Lord's will, is much more than just a Christianized saying or a good luck phrase. But if that can be the reality and the power and mantra of your life, it can be one of the most beautiful, reassuring truths in the life of a child of God. The Puritans love this biblical truth and would often sign their letters Deo volente, God willing. God willing. And the Methodists would always sign their letters similarly, D period, V period. Deo volente, God willing. What James is saying is, as you make plans for the future and have dreams and ambitions, do it all with a heart dependency. That is a key to an authentic faith in our passage. We're very good on Sundays to do this, but your Monday through Friday lives, is there that daily heart dependency upon the Lord Himself? I love what Christian author Jerry Bridges shares with us. God's guidance is almost always step by step. He does not show us our life's plan all at once. Sometimes our anxiousness to know the will of God comes from a desire to peer over God's shoulder to see what His plan is. What we need is to learn to trust Him to guide us. Our MO is often we make our plans and then we say, "Here, God, bless it. Bless it good, Lord. I want to glorify you and live for you. So here are my plans. Please bless it." But James is saying we are not to see if God is in our plans, but are we in the plan of God? And so as we navigate through the waters of our lives and make critically important decisions that impact us and our loved ones each day, we rely upon Him. We are dependent upon Him. This dependency, if it is the Lord's will, is a kind of surrendering to God, trusting Him that He is our good Father. And He will lead us and guide us indeed to those stiller waters of our lives. So, Pastor, what does this really look like as we try to think about the new year, as we think about the future and our plans? Let me just share a few thoughts regarding some applications. First of all, if this is really true, we always allow for God's interruptions and redirections when it comes to the planning of our lives, our future selves, and our loved ones. Yes, make plans. Yes, be ambitious. Yes, try to be successful. Of course, who wants to be a loser and try to fail in life? Of course not. But as you do it, always allow for God to interrupt those plans and to redirect you. And secondly, related to that, we aren't ultimately disappointed by our plans not working out, because every day we say, "Today is God's daily grace for my life. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, I'm frustrated. But Lord, my life is in your hands. I am just a mist that appears for a while and vanishes. Life is so fragile, so quick. Lord, I'm not ultimately wrecked when my dreams, ambitions, and plans don't work out. When I grew up and didn't become an astronaut or a fireman or the president or a doctor, engineer, whatever, it's okay because I still have you." If we have to really understand this, we become flexible and willing to follow the leading of God's Spirit in the macro plans of our lives, but also daily. Some of us are so thick-headed and stubborn that it's my way or the highway. "Lord, hear my plans. You better bless it, Lord. I hope you're in it because I'm moving at light speed." But true faith is one that daily comes before God and says, "Lord, is there something that I need to do differently? Is there a word that I need to heed and obey? Do I need to wait a little bit longer before going for it? Are my plans all messed up and I need to clear the slate and make it blank for you to write it?" We become flexible and we follow the leading of God's Spirit who leads and guides. And all the great leaders of the church, even those that we read about in the Bible itself, have demonstrated a God who often interrupts, redirects, gives new commands, and we would be wise to follow the leading of God's Spirit. Fourthly, as we think about that, we live boldly before the face of God and men. When an opportunity, and it's kind of related to this last point, we embrace the God-given opportunities eagerly. We realize that when God opens a door, when he gives us an opportunity for change, for growth, for investing in the lives of others outside of my own life or my immediate family, we boldly run to it and embrace it because we never know when those opportunities will come again. Opportunities for growth, for breakthrough, for connection, for deeper trusting in God's leading, his love, his sovereignty, trusting in him. We live courageously with purpose and intent, always trusting in God's leading by his Spirit and his word in an age of great fear and uncertainty, even here in America. Especially here in America. The older we get, the safer we want to play it. We don't like change. We don't like risk. And I get it. I understand. And yet, the challenge that God gives his people often come, whether they're young or whether they are old. What guides us as we move towards a new year and a new season of your lives come January 1st to 2020, we hold on to not a crystal ball or a fortune cookie where we hope and pray that God will give some supernatural, miraculous, do these three steps and you will be successful in life. God is not that kind of God. But rather, we hold deeply to his word. The word of God reminds us in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We hold on to those kind of truths as we move forward in our lives, disappointments, pain, and suffering, and all. Jesus committed his entire future to his heavenly Father from the moment that he was born and entered into our world that Christmas morning. In humble submission to Father, his Father, his follow his Father's perfect will. And that included going to the cross. Jesus showed us that our Heavenly Father can be trusted with our lives, our plans, our dreams, and ambitions. And because Jesus trusted daily in his Heavenly Father's love and plans for his lives, we who are in Christ now completely know that we in Christ can do that also. God's greatest desire as we come to our end of our time together this morning is not for us to make the perfect, most ambitious plans for our lives, to be maximizers with all that we have. But his desire and dreams as we think about our lives going to the future is to follow the perfect person, not your plans. And as you follow a person and not your own intricately put together plans of your future lives, you follow a person who will reveal his plans, his passions, and his purposes for your life. I love what Chuck Colson says as he reflects on his life, including doing a stint in prison after Watergate and then leading prison ministry fellowship. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian is that I don't ever get up in the morning and wonder if what I do matters. I live every day to the fullest because I can live it through Christ. And I know no matter what I do today, I'm going to do something to advance the kingdom of God. I love Fanny Crosby's great hymn, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." He is a Savior that can be trusted. As we think about that, let us go before him in prayer. As you think about your plans for the future, the dreams for your lives and your loved ones, your children and grandchildren, we all have a picture of what that future may look like, and we plan for it with all of our hearts. But could I ask you this morning, as we end not only our time together this morning, but as we come to the end of a very full and very challenging year in 2019. Could I challenge you, rather than as you think about the future, seeing your planning, that you would see a person, the person of Jesus Christ? And would you be willing to embrace his passions, his plans, his purposes, as you daily learn to trust him? Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, and we acknowledge that much has happened in our lives, both worth celebrating and at the same time sometimes worth mourning over. And as we envision the future, Lord, rather than a picture of you, Lord, we often just see our planning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might challenge all of us this morning to heed the words of James that reminds us that each day is a daily grace and gift from you. Help us to be committed to following the person of Jesus Christ more than our plans, our own dreams, and our own visions. Lord, sometimes to follow a person is much harder than following our plans. But we submit it humbly before you as we near the end of this year. And I pray that you would remind us that you are someone worth trusting, because you proved it by giving your very best to us in the coming of your Son, Jesus, to this world. And so, Father, we surrender ourselves to you. We give you thanks, and we ask you to teach us what it means to live in light of these truths, that we would exhibit a trusting faith. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.